from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
It's David Cobb, writes about college basketball and college football for CBS Sports. He's on X at David W. Cobb. He joins now. David, how's it going? How was your weekend?
Man, it was nice. I'm joining you live from Interstate 24 on my way back from a little trip to Kentucky. I got to see my grandparents, which is a tremendous blessing that I'm the age that I am. Yep. I have two living, healthy grandparents that I can spend some time with, so when you get to do that, man, pretty special weekend. So yeah, all is well.
Where are they about, and where are they at in the state of Kentucky?
So they are actually in Paducah.
Okay.
So they have been a stopover for me many times on my way between Tennessee and Missouri. On my way to St. Louis when I was covering the Cardinals, and then on my way to Missouri when I was covering Tennessee. And, yeah, Paducah's right there, like the confluence of, like, you know, the Ohio and the Mississippi. And then it's also at, like, the a couple of different interstates meet up there. So it's, you know, it's like a baby Memphis in terms of, like, the transportation vibes. Because back in the 19th century, man, it was like a big-time hub.
But, it was happening.
Anyway, yeah. It was. It's not so much happening anymore, but yeah.
There's a lot of cities around this great country that have fallen off with the years. That's fine. Shout out to Paducah, nice. Kentucky.
It's got a couple of nice golf courses, which is all I need. So,
oh, did you play some golf?
Yeah, Gabe. You know, it was good for me to get off the Xbox and go play some golf.
Know what we need to do next time you come to Memphis? We need to, because Audubon, right around the corner from my house, is going to open up at the beginning of August. Let's set a tee time. Let's play.
I'm excited. I'm super excited for that. I love the Overton Park renovation, and,
yep,
and it just made it so much fun. The only difference is that, like, you know, you can still go play Overton for, like, $6. I think it's actually going to cost, like, what a real round of golf costs,
yeah,
to go and play at Audubon. But I think it'll be worth it, because I know they brought in a really good architecture group to redo the whole thing, and I think it's going to be a really good course.
I enjoyed Audubon the first time around, anyway, because it was an easy golf course. It was nice to get out, mm-hmm, there. You feel good about yourself after you get done with the round at the old Audubon. I don't know if it'll be the same this time around. I think it's going to be substantially harder. They actually added water this time, which they didn't have the first time around.
I want to say, I think Audubon is the first place I ever broke 80. And,
there you go.
So, and I'm sure it was super convenient for y'all because, you know, it's so close to campus. So it's like, all right, you know, if you got time to squeeze in around and you're a college football player, like, yeah, you just go around the corner to Audubon, right?
Yeah, real quick, this is funny. I get texts during the show every once in a while, but my guy Daniel Greer, who covers the Grizzlies and and betting for Bluff City Media. He did let me know for Paducah, Kentucky, going back to that, there's a new Sportsplex coming to Paducah, Kentucky. Apparently it's the talk of the town.
Okay.
I don't know if you heard about that, but apparently talk of the town of Paducah, Kentucky, new Sportsplex.
You know, I didn't, but that surprises me because, like, my family who's up there, it's my mom's side, they are so civically connected and, like, they read the paper, they watch the news every night. So, like, normally they tell me about that sort of stuff. But, yeah, I'll have to ask them about it next time I talk to them.
All right. Now, I want to get into the House versus NCAA settlement. Most of these things we expected, we're laying out the groundwork for 10 years worth of revenue sharing, $2.7 billion in back pay and settlement funds is going to be paid to certain athletes. But was there anything that the NCAA published on Friday that we're not talking about that surprises you that we're not talking about at this moment?
Well, there were a couple of things that I've seen that stood out to me, and I've not gone through the document itself meticulously. So what I'm speaking on is largely the things that others have reported on at this point. But through the reporting of other people, two things stand out with the House settlement. One, of course, is the increase in scholarships for basically every sport. You can scholarship every player on your roster up to the roster maximum. So that's significant. And then the other thing is the third-party arm that will be used to enforce what is true NIL and whether or not you can make $600,000 or more from a collective or what
right.
have you. Like anything over 600K is going to have to be verified and legitimized and checked out, you know, by this third-party enforcer, I guess. And so that's where this thing is going to get off the rails, and you're going to see a lot of contention. And that's the part of it that I think is going to be the most controversial, is trying to enforce the $600,000 cap on, you know, whether or not it's a true NIL deal or not.
But I think it's an overwhelming good thing that we have some understanding of where that money is going to come from, and you have to get it checked, because there's been some sketchy deals done when it's been the wild, wild west.
Well, think about the Nico Iamaliava deal. It's a reported $8 million deal that, to my knowledge, is not requiring Nico to actually do anything. I don't know that he's required to appear on a commercial or post certain number of advertisements on social media. I mean, I think he's just getting paid through the collective, and this is the kind of thing that's going to try to take that away.
Yeah, but I think it also adds understanding, right? Understanding where the money's come from and where they're getting it from, and they can verify it that way.
Yeah, I mean, the more of that you can do, the better. Because there's also an element of player protection.
That's where I was coming from.
Yeah, and there are instances. It happens all the time where players are, they have a dollar amount dangled in front of them. I'm sure sometimes they even sign a piece of paper that a lawyer has not thoroughly reviewed or that an agent has not thoroughly reviewed, and they sign that piece of paper or that document. It's probably a 200-page document. It's probably not just one piece of paper. And it says, oh, yeah, or they think it says that you're entitled to make such and such a dollar figure. But this is, yeah, hopefully this House settlement brings a little bit more uniformity to the process, to where these guys are able to actually make what they're told they're going to make.
Now, the scholarship part of this is the one thing. This is why I asked it. I wanted to see if we were like-minded on this. I don't think enough people are talking about the scholarship limit, or the scholarship limit being sort of abandoned. You're going to have 105 scholarship players on a roster, and the right. roster may be limited to that. I don't view this as an overwhelmingly positive thing. One, I don't think schools at the bottom of the FBS are going to be able to afford 105 full scholarships. So that will put them at an even on a worse playing field than even where they're at right now. UL Monroe's of the world are going to only be able to afford probably the 85 or 90 that they can actually put in their budget. So I think first and foremost, it definitely drives a wedge. You know, that we currently have, it just makes it worse as far as, you know, a level playing field and trying to keep parity from the top to the bottom of the sport. That is going to make the Georgias and the Oregons and the Floridas and the Texases of the world even richer. I'm sure they're happy with it for the most part, because they can get a lot of depth, but the rest of the sport may suffer. Oh, in and out.
We got you. Yeah, but to use your Louisiana Monroe example, they might be able to do 105 scholarships for football. It might come at the expense of an entire other athletic
program. Right.
They might have to chop swimming or track and because they're like, screw it. We gotta have 105 for football. Sorry to the tennis team. That could be the reality as well. And so that's not ideal. I don't think that's a great thing. And then another part of it that I think is interesting is that you could have, 30 scholarship baseball players now?
Yep.
Whereas you used to have 11.7 scholarships to divide between.
I think it's 34 now.
It's insane. So the SEC schools that are already killing it in baseball, they're going to bankroll as many scholarships as they can in that sport now. And it's only going to make the separation between SEC baseball and the rest of the country that much greater. And I don't think that's good for college baseball. College baseball is really fun when you turn on these regionals and you randomly get High Point taking Vanderbilt to the woodshed or something like that. And, that was already an imbalance between the resources of those schools, but now it's only going to get even greater with Vanderbilt being able to have 30-something scholarships.
Yeah, so they're going to be able to load up. That's one negative. I think the other negative is walk-ons. And I know Dabo Swinney spoke up on it. It's one of the one things I agree with him about. The walk-on stories are going to be few and far in between now, and they may be eliminated altogether.
Right. Yeah, because essentially, sure, you can still have walk-ons, but for every walk-on you have, that's a one less scholarship. So, you could have 102 on scholarship and 3 walk-ons, or you could have 95 on scholarship and 10 walk-ons. But if you want to have that 105 maximum and you want them all to be on scholarship, you're not going to have room for any walk-ons. So what I think is going to happen is I think you're going to see even more players transferring out of Power 5 or Power 4 schools and going to Group of 5 schools, because if you have 105 scholarship guys, not all of them are going to get to play. There's going to be 40 probably who are looking to transfer at season's end. And it could essentially be a situation where some Group of 5 programs go nearly portal exclusive in recruiting. I could see that.
That's already how it is. And the high school recruiting's already taken a hit. So, this is my biggest worry. At Memphis, for example, you had Phil Mayhew, you had Alan Cross, you had Anthony Miller. Where would those guys fit in now? You either have to go very low FBS or FCS or maybe even D2, and would you ever get the opportunities that were afforded to you as a walk-on at Memphis, for example? Or the Baker Mayfield story, even.
Well, I think it would be worth a program like Memphis bookmarking or earmarking 7 or 8 scholarships every cycle for local developmental guys.
Right.
They're on the fence about, or who may have been preferred walk-ons in the past.
Right.
And instead of doing the PWO thing, now you're just a scholarship guy. You're not making anything in NIL, but you've got a chance, if you redshirt, to develop into, a legitimate player. Because what use do you really have for scholarships 97 through 105? I mean, the chances of those guys being legitimate players for you are pretty slim, so take a chance on a kid who really, really wants to put on the uniform, who's maybe local or from the area, who doesn't even have that third star on their recruiting profile, but who could maybe over the course of time develop into something, and who's willing to come without taking a dime in NIL. I mean, so I don't know. That's just kind of an idea to save, and I think that goes for basketball too. If you can scholarship 15 guys in basketball, there's no need for that. But if you got a kid who went to CBHS or Lausanne, and he's got, he's got Missouri Valley offers. Hey, give him your 14th scholarship. Why not?
Right, but here's the sense I get, though, is, the guys that are preferred walk-ons, you don't necessarily believe in that much as developmental guys. You believe in them to a certain extent, but I think in the past, if you would have had more scholarships, you would have gave them to other guys who you believed in more, who you had to cut out of your program because you had given too many wide receiver scholarships, you'd given too many O-linemen scholarships, or too many tight ends. I feel like those guys will just get cut out, unfortunately.
But if you think that those last 5 guys in your class are probably going to end up transferring anyway, what if you go and get the local kid who has no expectations of playing time? They're just like, hey, I just want a chance.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know.
Bring in the guys that are the hungriest is the idea you're throwing out there.
Yes, and I'm not saying that you do that for your entire class. I'm saying for the last 7 or 8 spots on your roster, scholarship the local kid, give him a chance. He may stay around. 5 players leave at the end of the year. And so in that sense, you know, if it's a good, you know, it would only be somebody who you really believe in from a cultural standpoint, too. Like somebody who you know is going to come in and work, somebody who you know is going to come in and do well in the classroom and stay out of trouble, right? Like those are the, I think there can still be a spot for those types of guys in this system. But I do think that overall, what let's call it what it is. Walk-ons are going away, and that's not good.
Yes.
Like, I don't think, like, that sucks. Like, that's just a part of this that is not really, I think, a positive thing.
And I think people that don't understand how it works would say, oh, well, there'll be more scholarships for those guys. So if they're walk-ons, maybe they'll actually be able to give them a scholarship. That's not how that will work, ultimately, at most of these programs. So, again, I think we both agree it is less than ideal, and I don't think enough people are talking about it at the moment. But we will see the unintended consequences of that throughout the years once the settlement goes into play. Now, I've been meaning to ask you about this for a while, but with Kirby Smart, we had another thing transpire last week where a felony was given out there to Ra-Ra Thomas. We know in January of 2023, he had a misdemeanor for the same thing. It was family violence, family domestic issues, but he finally got a felony for it. And I want to ask you about Kirby Smart in particular, not about Ra-Ra, not even about, like, every single example of reckless driving. With Kirby, are we starting to go down the Urban Meyer path? Are we getting dangerously close to that where, yeah, you went on the field and we acknowledge you as one of the best coaches, if not the best coach in college football right now, but all of that off-the-field business is starting to wear on you and starting to make you look less serious?
It's a mess, man. He's got to get it under control.
I think we got you back, David. I'm not sure. You there? We keep losing him. He's on I-24. I get it. We'll get him back real quick to answer that Kirby Smart business. But I've long said, I think we look at this situation on its face, and you look at where Kirby Smart is now that Nick Saban's out of the game. He could take over as the next Nick Saban. He's won 2 national championships. He was 13-1 last year, absolutely hammered Florida State. But one thing that Nick Saban always did, he kept, for the most part, the off-field issues to a minimum. But when you look at a guy like Urban Meyer, we always respect him as a coach, thought he did a great job. But when you look at his time at Florida, you look at his time at Ohio State that was cut short, you look at a guy who could never outrun the way that his programs were always viewed. You viewed them through the eye of lawlessness. You viewed them as a program that never could really handle themselves, handle the national spotlight they were in. I think we're getting very, very close to that point with Kirby Smart. David, we got you back? Nope, we dropped him again. We dropped him again. But there does come a point, truthfully, where as a coach, you have to take the Nick Saban route. If you have issues, you have to cut them out. If you have problems, you have to suspend. You have to make people feel it. You have to make these players who don't know any better understand the consequences of their actions. Urban Meyer was never able to do that. Was he winning championships all the time? Sure. But the GPA suffered. The program suffered, the view of the program suffered because of all of the issues he had off of the field. At some point, Kirby Smart's going to have to take it upon himself, and I'm not saying every bit of this is his fault. You may just have to deal with the type of players that you're bringing in. You have to understand the type of capacity and understanding they have for their situation. You have to bring in higher character guys. And you have to decide when they get into trouble to go ahead and punish them, make them an example. I don't want to look at Kirby Smart in 5 to 10 years and say, oh, well, he's a great coach, but who wants to do that? Who wants to have a legacy that's similar to Urban Meyer? I know there's a lot of coaches that would want to have the national championship with the success on the field. But at some point, you do have to want to have the clean-looking legacy that a guy like Nick Saban had. And I know Kirby Smart looks up to that guy. But, David, we finally got you back.
Yeah, man.
It's that cell service on 24, huh?
Yeah, well, you know what? I'm on another background. Like, I love doing while I'm driving because it's a great way to pass the time because it's really, like, stimulating conversation. But then there's always this, like, risk where it's like, I don't know. I'm kind of in the middle of nowhere yeah. here, but I appreciate you putting up with me.
Yep. Now, to the Kirby Smart conversation, are you starting to view him? Like, is he getting closer to towing that line of Urban Meyer?
Yeah, he is. It's a problem. It is a problem, and it will be a bigger problem when the wins stop coming at the rate that they're coming now. And that's when I think you'll see some Georgia fans say, wow, we're not winning the national championship anymore, and our program is dirty. Like, that's where I think it'll start to really come back to bite them. And it's just a bad look. I mean, they are leading the country in terms of high-profile arrests, and this is Rah-Rah Thomas' second chance. He's already had his one mess up. And so if Kirby doesn't come down hard on him this time, then it's a joke. It's a total joke if Rah-Rah Thomas doesn't get suspended.
Well, what I saw is that if you get a felony at Georgia, you do get suspended. And then they're going to let it play out. And if it gets dropped, ultimately you could be back on the team. But it should not just be felonies that you get suspended for. There should be way more than that, especially with all the reckless driving cases and DUIs and everything that happens when somebody at Georgia gets behind a wheel.
Yeah, and it's already, you know, getting behind the wheel there, it's already one of the issues has already led to a death.
I mean, a couple of deaths.
It's really kind of shocking because with Kirby coming from that Nick Saban tree, you would expect him to have a little bit more discipline. And this, you know, is the difference between Kirby Smart and Mark Richt. Mark Richt took discipline really seriously to the detriment of performance.
Yep.
Kirby Smart doesn't take it seriously.
Yeah, but here's the thing that I do always stand by. In our society, does your game outweigh your problems? And I think Kirby Smart is going to have to figure that out over the years. You're going to have to get, yeah, sure. A lot of the guys you get, even with all the issues they have, get drafted in the NFL. But again, like you said, if those wins start drying up little by little, it just becomes really hard for you to, you know, keep explaining yourself away, explaining your problems away. So I fear, as a guy that could follow in Nick Saban's footsteps and be the ambassador, the top dog, no pun intended, in college football, he's got to take the Nick Saban route, not the Urban Meyer route.
Hey, but you know what? If you have 105 scholarships, maybe that frees you up to be more strict with your discipline.
I guess so. That is a good point relating to the conversations we've had.
Drop the hammer on them because you got 20 extra guys now. So,
and they're all going to be four or five stars, even those last few guys on the roster.
Exactly. Now, you know, even this year, like for Georgia, if they suspended Rah-Rah Thomas for half the season, which they should, then they would have plenty of other talented playmakers at wide receiver who could step up and give you what he was going to give you. It's not like this is Mississippi State where they're rebooting under Jeff Lebby, and like if heaven forbid their top receiver got suspended, they'd be in a terrible situation. Like, this is not that. This is a situation where Kirby Smart has an established program with numerous talented players at every position, and he can afford to make an example out of somebody who's messed up now multiple times. And you know, we'll see what he does, but you know, if he doesn't come down hard at all on Rah-Rah Thomas, then to me, it just makes that program look like a joke.
He still has Dominic Lovett and Oscar Delp. He's got plenty of weapons to throw out there for Carson Beck. Rah-Rah Thomas is not going to completely damper the plants. Now, it may make that offense a little less explosive if he doesn't play this year, but they're going to have plenty. He can afford to go make these moves. He just hasn't yet.
Yeah. Dylan Bell's another one. I mean, he's a guy that, if Rah-Rah Thomas is suspended, you're going to see Dylan
Arian Bell. Smith, who is fast as all get out, who can be one of the best deep threats in the country if you allow him to.
Yeah, so even without Rah-Rah Thomas, they still have five guys who would be A, like tier A1 starters at any other school in the league. And so why not? And now you move into a future where you have 20 extra scholarships, you throw in another couple of guys in every position group. I mean, there's just no reason not to take the discipline a little more seriously. And I mean, think about it too. Like, I don't mean to be like old man about this, but think about the players themselves and like the benefits of, like, I remember, I don't know, like, just be like having discipline and having an authority figure and a coach who is willing to like discipline you when you mess up, that benefits you in your life, like later on. And so there's an element of that that I feel like is missing right now in Georgia.
Yep, 100%. I'm glad we're seeing eye to eye on that. But David, I appreciate it, man. We'll talk again Wednesday.
All right, brother. Sounds good.
Yes, sir. That's David Cobb traveling from Kentucky back to the east side of Tennessee. So he's going to have more. If he's trying to talk to anybody on the phone, the cell phone service struggling there in the state of Kentucky. I can say that much. But he is on X at David W. Cobb, CBS Sports College Football and College Basketball writer. And he's brought to you by Oxbow, family-owned and operated retail store that's been making waves in Memphis for over a decade, conveniently located right off of Poplar. I know you drive Poplar every day. You know what you do? You take a right onto June Road, and it is behind the Amoco Station, Oxbow. Two-story storefront, top floor is going to be all the hunting and outdoor essentials you need. You can get a gift for somebody, or you can get a gift for yourself on that top floor if you are a hunter. And then on the bottom floor, they have everything. It's the gift-giving destination of Memphis at 964 June Road. Not only is the staff going to take care of you, they're kind, they're courteous, they'll show you in the direction, whatever you need. They have a bunch of things. I mean, vintage vinyl for the music lovers, sports memorabilia, they have autographs of your favorite players in town, out of town, legends. They have trading cards, a great selection of that if you're into it. They have the tailgating gear if you get to the Grove or Tiger Lane. They have cups, coolers, koozies, tumblers, you name it. They have it. 964 June Road. And then the clothing and the best brands. Genteel, Free Fly, Fair Harbor, Duckhead, Mizzen, and Maine. Your favorite teams are there. And you can get polos, you can get shorts, you can get pants, you can get button-downs. They have as casual a look as you want to as nice a look as you could possibly want. But it's your favorite teams as well. Grizzlies, Tigers, all the SEC favorites, Arkansas, Tennessee, Alabama. They have it right there at 964 June Road. And they also have it online at shopoxbow.com. So go to shopoxbow.com to get all their selection at an online store. And on that online store, you can tell them I sent you by using my promo code, TheGabeShow, all caps, no spaces, TheGabeShow, and you'll get 20% off your online order at shopoxbow.com. But whether you're going online or in-store to 964 June Road, remember to shop local, shop Oxbow. Now it's time to go ahead and hop into the NFL. And we have a lot of stories from training camp. We have a 6-game suspension for PEDs that is notable. We have a Cowboys injury that is notable. And then, of course, the Patriots have a D-tackle that they just paid that has been diagnosed with something very, very serious. All that next, 92.9 FM ESPN. 9FM ESPN NFL training camps are rolling along, and we have a lot of contracts coming down. Looks like CeeDee Lamb. Cowboys fans, cross your fingers. We may have some news on CeeDee Lamb relatively soon. There is reports out there about them closing in on a 4-year, $136 million contract for CeeDee Lamb, which would not make him the highest paid non-quarterback of all time, but he'd be right under Justin Jefferson from a per-year valuation standpoint. $34 million to Justin Jefferson's $35 million. So we may get some news on that here relatively soon, and if we do get it, we will tell you. Also, in other contract situations, this is another domino to fall for the Lions this offseason. They already paid their right tackle, league-setting, record-setting money, paid Amon-Ra St. Brown, record-setting money, paid Jared Goff, nearly record-setting money. They also locked up their left tackle, Taylor Decker, 3 years, $60 million, $31.68 million guaranteed. He's now under contract through 2027. So they keep their two anchors of that offensive line together. And again, it goes to what we talked about with the Cowboys not having foresight. Foresight. The Lions, the Chiefs, and I think the Eagles are all in this category, and they all have good GMs, so it shouldn't be surprising. They have foresight to lock up guys while they have the chance, while they have the opportunity. The Lions have done it all offseason, and that's why we're putting them at the top of the NFC as a legitimate Super Bowl contender. Now, going to training camp, Texans defensive end Danico Autry, who has been with the Titans the last 3 years, tested positive for PEDs, and he was hit with a 6-game suspension. Of course, he came over from the Titans after 3 seasons in Nashville, but last year, He had a career-high 11.5 sacks. So he came over to the Texans as a guy who was supposed to make an immediate impact. And I know they're going all in, and they signed all these different guys, but he was going to be a very, very important piece to that defensive line. They're not going to have him for six games. Now, Autry, who is 34 years old, said in a statement that the violation was because his doctor submitted a prescription for a different medication that contained a bad substance. He said he did not intentionally violate the league's policy, but accepts the punishment. He accepts the punishment. It's as simple as that. I think every single person who gets caught with PEDs, isn't it always, oh, well, I took a substance, I didn't know about it, but either their trainers or their doctor gave it to them, and they were not aware.
So, always seems to be an older player, too, trying to keep going.
Yes. Danico Autry, though, I think one of his excuses was, I've never gotten caught with PEDs before. I'm 34 years old. I've been in the league for 8 years. You know my track record. But at the same time, buddy, I think what you said always resonates in my mind. You're 34 years old. The longer you play in the league, the more help you need. Maybe you're trying to go seek that extra help. And not everybody gets tested for PEDs every year. They have only a few guys on each team get tested. Maybe you thought you could get away with it this time, but he's accepting the six-game punishment, six-game suspension, where other guys try to go through arbitration and go argue it, and he's not going to do that. So that's something. Now on to the Cowboys. This offseason continues to be one that I don't like. They have not re-upped anybody. Maybe CeeDee Lamb comes down, but we have not seen the official announcement of that. But the Cowboys defensive end out of Ole Miss a couple of years ago, they drafted him. Sam Williams went down in practice, and get this, during a special teams portion, he was participating in a freaking blocking drill on special teams. He went down. And after a few hours, it was determined he had a torn ACL and a partially torn MCL in his left knee. What's frustrating about this, and what should be frustrating about this for Cowboys fans, is not like, okay, it's not the end of the world, right? You have Micah Parsons and you have Tank Lawrence. You have two of the best DN duo, arguably the best DN duo in the entire NFL. They will get sacks as long as they stay on the field. But when it comes to the depth they have on that side of the ball with their edge rushers, this offseason they've taken a huge hit because they didn't bring back certain guys. They tried to rely on Sam Williams. Now he goes down. He's going to be out for the year with an ACL injury. They let Dorrance Armstrong, who was their backup to Micah Parsons, and Dante Fowler Jr., who is the backup to Tank Lawrence, they let them walk and go play for their old DC in Washington. They play for Dan Quinn. They play for the Commanders. So the reserve pass rushing role was going to be Sam Williams to lose, and now he's going to lose it because he's not going to be on the field. They made a draft pick this year that can hopefully replace some of the production at that DN, reserve DN position, but now they're going to be very, very thin, and one injury to either Micah Parsons or Tank Lawrence could really make that defense fall apart. And that
from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one. Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
That is a stressful reality if you're thinking about what you want the Cowboys to accomplish this year with all of their all-pros either having expiring contracts going into this offseason or next offseason. They're going to be in a world of hurt if they have any injuries up there. Now, also, Pat's defensive tackle, Christian Barmore, this is kind of sad. He was diagnosed with blood clots, and he's going to be out for a game amount or a time frame because they're blood clots. They dealt with this with David Andrews not too long ago, and David Andrews got past it, and he's playing for them now. But in April, if you'll remember, Christian Barmore signed with the Patriots an extension 4 years, $92 million, including $41.8 million guaranteed. With no timetable for return, you have no idea what this guy is going to be when he comes back. What's he going to be able to contribute? He's been one of the more impressive young D tackles in the game. 8.5 sacks last year, 64 tackles. He's a very active defensive tackle, makes a lot of tackles, and he's only 25 years old. And I will give this out. Shout out to the Patriots athletic trainer, Jim Whalen. He's dealt with this before, like I said, with David Andrews. But this is something you have to check and then check again for. And if you don't do your due diligence, somebody could die potentially on the field if they have these types of blood clots. For him to get out ahead of this, get Christian Barmore off the field, I think is very good in itself. But the Patriots are going to be without him. Now, I know it's a gap year and they're just trying to develop Drake May as the year goes along, but missing out on Christian Barmore on that defensive side is really going to put a damper on their plans defensively.
What a scary situation, really.
Yeah, for sure. What do you think about Cowboys, though? The Cowboys, they haven't done anything this offseason. Well, I know you talked about it with Jeffrey, but now here's the thing. They plan on drafting well and doing with what they have in-house. But I feel like this offseason they had a chance to add depth. They didn't do it. They had a chance to re-sign some guys for depth. They didn't do it. Not only do I worry about them going into the future with the lack of anything getting done this offseason with their best players, but I also worry about their depth across the entire roster now because they don't really have good backups. They're just relying on a lot of those rookies to step in and be productive.
Their lack of spending isn't just on the big names. It was also on the depth pieces, and it's already starting to bite them. And that's why I have a lot of concerns about the Cowboys heading into next season and about their future. I still think that they'll have a successful football season because they are really talented. But at the end of the day, it just feels like they're bidding against themselves for some reason, and they're playing with the risk that doesn't really need to be there.
Yes, 100%.
Like, it's so preventable.
Yes. They have money. They just didn't spend it.
I think that's what's so odd about this entire thing is it's not the lack of money that they have. It's just their refusal to pay it.
Yes. And then they just always talk about, oh, we need more time to get these things done. We've had the better part of a couple of off seasons to get some of these things ironed out, and you haven't done it. And then I look at the three big guys. CeeDee Lamb's likely going to get his contract. I'd imagine Micah gets his contract. Does Dak get his contract going into the future, or do you plan on something else going into the future? I think when you have a guy who is considered almost universally a top 10 quarterback, you hang on to that guy and you don't try to restart that clock with somebody else at this particular moment. If you have a win now roster, you think that defense is improved, you have a good quarterback, you have a good wide receiver, go ahead and sign that quarterback back. But I do get the sense that maybe Dak will be the odd one out here. I don't know. I'm not sure.
It really felt like last Friday we talked about it. They are beginning to lay the groundwork for two of the three.
Yes. And those two of the three, it's like, I think three of the three would be the best thing going forward.
Yeah.
Two of the three have to be Micah and CeeDee. Like, no debates, right? You can't let either of those guys walk to anywhere else in the league if you have your wits about you. If you think you are a serious football team and franchise, those two guys need to be the faces of your franchise going
forward. I mean, how do you feel if you're Dak Prescott? Because it feels like they're saying a lot about you without saying it by not giving you this contract.
Yeah, true. But also, he's been through this before. He's been in prove-it situations before, and he's proved it.
Sure.
But this year is going to be another one of those. And when you prove it two times over, though, I would imagine where Dak Prescott could get a little bit angry with the situation. He's like, guys, every time you ask me to prove it, I go above and beyond.
Well, especially when you look at who the top paid quarterbacks in the NFL are.
Yes, yes.
And he's looking at it like, really?
We'll get to that here in a little bit when we get into the blitz, but Jordan Love got that four-year, $220 million deal that's absolutely massive. Now, final thing on the Cowboys before we go ahead and get to small talk. Who's going to run the ball? We have any idea yet?
Zeke.
Now, I know there's some people out there that think the Cowboys will be fine in that regard because Tony Pollard, while he was a good running back and could do a lot of different things, the between the tackles running was not the greatest. He was right around 3.5-4 yards per pop. And I think there's some people that could say, oh, well, Zeke can probably do that. He'd give you 3.5 yards per rush or 4 yards per rush. He can get there. But I do think when you take the extra element out of Tony Pollard, out in the slot, being able to run off tackle, get into open space, do better things when he gets into open space, the runaway speed he had when he got to the second and third level of the defense, I think not having that is going to be massive, and it will limit your explosion as an offense. And I think this run game has absolutely zero explosion. Like, there is no explosion anymore with that run game. I think your O-line will be fine. You still have some guys up front. But Zeke Elliott, Rico Dowdle, and Deuce Vaughn are your top three backs. I don't see a lot of explosive plays being generated in the run game if that is the case.
Kind of nasty business.
And they have to be worried about that.
Well, to have Dak in a prove-it year, and then you're like, oh, by the way, everybody knows that we're going to try to throw every time.
Yeah. Well, they've been doing that for a while.
Sure, but at least they had.
It's one of the knocks against Mike McCarthy. I mean, even in the game they lost to the Packers, which Dak's numbers got boosted because of the second half.
Right.
He attempted 60 passes in that game. 60. He was 41 for 60 in that game. So, yeah, there's that.
I don't understand.
Yep. Now, I'll tell you this. I dug into a bottle, and I've been telling you about this, of Old Dom. It's their new 90.1 proof bourbon this weekend. And I'm telling you, go to your local liquor store and buy a bottle of it right now. It's for the 901. It's made right here. It's 90.1. It goes down smooth. It goes down smooth on the wallet. You can mix it. You can drink it straight. You can put a little water in it. It is phenomenal. But, I mean, outside of that, if you're not even a bourbon person, you can get whatever you want from Old Dominic. They have gin, vodka, toddy, whiskey, and bourbon. And it's the most fresh, most full spirit you can buy in the city because the distillery, again, is right here on the riverfront, 305 South Front Street. You can check out their events at olddominic.com. Book a tour and tasting at olddominic.com. And I will remind you to go ship those Old Dominic spirits. Not everybody in the United States gets to try these because they're not sold in every single liquor store across the United States. They're sold locally and regionally, but you can ship them wherever. And I do it at the holiday season because my family can't get enough of the Old Dominic bourbon that I always send them. But you can get them as a gift if you go to olddominic.com, ship them anywhere in the U.S. of A. And always remember that they're the official spirit of the Memphis Grizzlies. Two bar locations inside FedEx Forum. And whether you're going for a concert or a game, get to one of those bar locations and get a craft cocktail made by Old Dominic and made with Old Dominic. It will be phenomenal. But Old Dominic Distillery wants me to tell you to come by and make sure that you say hi. Now, small talk is on the way. We'll be right back.
89, we talk ball every weekday from 4 till 7 p.m. Except right now, it's time for Big Man Small Talk on 92.9's Gabe Kuhn Show.
And Small Talk is brought to you by Conway Services, reputable service available 7 days a week. Now, we already talked about this, but Deadpool and Wolverine brought in $438.8 million, the highest ever for an R-rated movie over their first weekend.
Eighth biggest opening ever.
That's pretty ridiculous. Did you expect it to be that big?
Yeah.
Okay, you did. I don't know.
It had been tracking like that for a very long time. And just the amount of theaters it was in kind of showed. Like when I went to go buy tickets last Monday or Tuesday, and I saw that they had like all of the showings at Malco, I was like, oh, this is about to make all the money. All the money. It was a fun crowd.
Yeah. Now, the Olympics. We already talked about our favorite moments. We had our guy today, Steven Nedorosik, the pommel horse god. We've had, you know, Paris and the $1.5 billion they spent. Chase Budinger has been fun. Simone Biles has been fun. I think my favorite thing, though, is still Flavor Flav. We've talked about this previously, but he was in May. He was asked, not asked, but he saw U.S. women's water polo captain Maggie Steffens asking for support. Now, as of, I think, since he's gotten to Paris, he signed a 5-year sponsorship deal to provide funding, exposure, and become the team's official hype man. I mean, of all of the 2024, you know, collaborations that we've ever seen, U.S. Women's Water Polo and Flavor Flav was still completely off the board. That still was not there. I know anything's possible in this day and age with social media and how people get involved, but Flavor Flav and U.S. Women's Water Polo, like, no one could have envisioned anything like this. And to see him in the crowd with his little, with his hat that resembles the water polo helmet or cap that they put on it is beautiful stuff.
Flavor Flav's life is just a Mad Lib. It's kind of awesome.
He just goes with the flow, doesn't he?
We've been rocking with him since Flavor of Love.
Yeah, but he just goes with the flow. He puts his money wherever he wants to put his money.
It's a legit supports awesome whatever he thing wants to what support. Legit it awesome
it's,
thing.
It's great. It's great. But water polo and Flavor Flav. Never saw that one coming. Got to be honest. Now, hour number three is on the way. What you should see coming is we have the Blitz at 6:30. We'll get to that. But coming up next, Jonah Dillon to talk some Tiger football and a little bit of Grizzlies. He is from the Commercial Appeal. He'll start the hour next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them. Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.